You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is November 29th, and this is the Bruins Beat on CLNS Media. Welcome back into the Bruins Beat on CLNS Media. My name is Evan Marinofsky. Hope you guys are having a great day, a great week. And on this episode, Connor and I dove in to all the injuries that the Bruins have been getting hit with lately. But, you know, fortunately for them, they're on the upswing. It's not looking as bad as it did this past weekend. We also get into the value of Derek Forbert, Linus Ullmark's great season, and whether or not maybe he should be played a little bit less. And we also get into the big question. Are the Bruins the Stanley Cup favorite as of today in the NHL, which is a pretty big question to be asking in November, but we're going to ask it anyways, because that's what we do. Before we get into the episode, I want to tell you about my good friends over at BetOnline. Football is alive and well, and BetOnline is your number one source for all your football betting needs and sports info this season. Find all the latest football odds, news, and game matchups, including all of the matchups throughout the season. BetOnline is your continued source for all your wagering information, including live betting, free contests, and live scores. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports and events, including, of course, the NFL, but also the NHL. Go bet on maybe the Bruins winning the Cup, and the NBA. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code CLNS50 to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Connor Ryan. And we're here with Connor Ryan. Connor, what is up?
Evan, I'm doing well. How you doing?
Doing great. Doing great. You are back from New York. You had two dunks in your hand in New York. It was just, you know, you had
cost
to do 40, it.
Cost $49 in New York City. Yes.
Tons of money. How was it? How was New York? I know you love New York.
Love New York, love going down there, checked off the list, got my Sparrow pizza, went to the M&M factory, got my picture on the red M&M. It was hilarious, paid $59 for the picture.
Oh, geez.
It was a great time all in all, Evan. Like, what more do you need other than those two things? I was only there for 2 hours, just went to the M&M factory, got my Sparrow, and I was out the door. It was great. Perfect.
See ya. I'm surprised you didn't put the M&M picture on Twitter for everybody to see. I mean, that's a... Good
they put
the
a lot. I mean, it was. They put a lot of work into it. It was a work of art. I don't want to sully the work that lovely people at Eminem did by showing it to the world. Like, I think it needs like a special. You know, maybe it's like I add like the super followers, and you have to pay like, you know, $10.99 a month, and I'll show you the picture, and that's it. That's
I
it.
Think some people would be interested in that. Maybe it's. You know,
I
that's
really would
like...
hope not. I seriously, I would be like, please don't. I'm going to Venmo your money back. Please don't do this.
It's kind of like it's a copyright information. The picture of you on the M&M. You don't want to give it away for the M&M.
True.
It's like when people take your stories from BSJ, or they take, you know, mine from New England Hockey Journal, and they post like a screenshot of it on Twitter. It's like, you know, I like the idea, but. Come on. There was a reason this you need to subscribe. But anyways, maybe that's what they do with the M&M pictures. But anyways, Bruins news to talk about as always. Little bit of the injury bug in the last week. Trent Frederick went down. Derek Forbert's obviously been down. Linus Ullmark went down in Friday's game, on the Black Friday game against the Hurricanes. And I think every Bruins fan kind of just went, oh no. Oh no, no, no. But things are not going horribly. Ullmark's good to go. He'll either, start Tuesday's game or back up, you know, but he's back basically for this week and for the foreseeable future. Frederick could be cleared to play tomorrow, and Derek Forbert could also play. And by the way, I say tomorrow, I mean Tuesday. Frederick could play Tuesday. Forbert could also play Tuesday. How good is this for the Bruins?
Yeah, it's huge. I think when you look at just the order of importance, you know, losing Ullmark for even a couple of games, you could spin, maybe not the positive, but you can focus on the silver linings and say, okay, Jeremy Swayman really hasn't gotten into a groove. He's had a bit of a rough start to the year. Give him some more reps, get him up and see how he can do, and you'll be fine in the meantime. Could see that, but when you factor in one, or maybe the most important thing is you look at this gauntlet the Bruins are on, right, where it's Tampa, Colorado, Vegas, and it only gets tougher from there when they hit the road. It's a situation where I think you want your full complement of players out there, and I don't think you have to be a hockey savant to look at the importance of Linus Ullmark and your number one goaltender and having him in place and how important that is. So huge for the Bruins in terms of having him there throughout this kind of stretch where they're playing either cup contenders or teams that are right at the top of the standings right now. So not having Ullmark miss even a couple of games is really good news for him. Hopefully it's not anything that's bothering him or something that throws him off his game, because I think the one thing that stands about Ullmark is just how locked in, poised, comfortable he is. So you hope it's not something that's nagging him or bothering him or anything like that. And then even you look at Forbert and Frederick, yeah, these are two guys that, if you ask me at the start of the year, if let's say they were to miss a couple of weeks, you know, how much that impact the team, you'd be like, they've got depth, they'll be fine. But, you know, give credit to Frederick, who I think has fit in pretty well in that third line right now, whether it's with Coyle and Hall or what have you. I think he's been doing a pretty solid job. But I think especially Forbert, this is something I'm sure we'll kind of delve into, but when you look at the number of players that have missed time for the Bruins this season, McAvoy and Marchand, Grizzlick, even guys like David Krejci missed some games, Brennan Kahlo, bit surprising. I think probably the player that they've missed the most in terms of what his role is and what the impact has been on the on-ice product, I think it's been Derek Forbert in that penalty kill. I think it's been sizable in terms of just what he brings. And again, he's not flashy. He doesn't have the skill set of McAvoy or Marchand or what have you. But in terms of what his set role is, especially as kind of that person who I think adds that structure to the net front there on the penalty kill, you've seen this penalty kill go from the top in the league to more middle of the pack, if not maybe pedestrian, in terms of what you've seen from them on these last couple of games. And I think having Forbert out there and what he brings in terms of just that guy that kills plays, clears pucks, all those kind of little things that are part of the bigger machine of a penalty kill, it's been missed. So having him back there, I think it's going to be huge for this team.
Yeah, I mean, again, you look at just even the numbers. Ty Anderson tweeted this prior to the Black Friday game, you know, Bruins penalty kill prior to Forbert's injury, 35 for 37, 94.6% kill rate, best in the NHL. Since Forbert's injury, 31 for 41, 75.6%, 20th in the NHL. He matters. He matters a lot. And we knew this last year. I mean, you know, again, he was always a valued penalty killer. But I mean, ever since they, you know, Chara has left, they have needed a, you know, bigger left shot defenseman to help kill penalties. And Forbert, you know, had his ups and downs last year, settled into his role by the end. And this year, early on, mattered, and he was important. And again, I mean, he's one of those guys, you know, it's funny. I remember you used to say back in the day about Zboril that he'd be kind of like a lineman. Like, you didn't want to notice him. You'd notice him when he wasn't playing well. Mm-hmm. Forbert's kind of that similar mold where, you know, guy who is not going to stand out. He's not flashy, but blocks shots, kills penalties, shuts opponents down in the D zone. And when he's gone, you miss him. And you're seeing that now with Forbert being gone. And again, I mean, I think, you know, if the Bruins could get him back, and by the way, the fact that the Bruins have also sustained themselves during, you know, not having Forbert has been pretty impressive. Even given that, you know, on the Black Friday game, their penalty kill was not outstanding. But, you know, another thing that I kind of take away from all this injury stuff, and I kind of mentioned this in past episodes, but I wonder if this is kind of a cautionary tale to maybe use Ullmark a little less. And I don't mean that because Ullmark's bad or anything, let's derail his Vezina season just because, but it's more so because you have Swayman there. And we've talked about this in, you know, many times since, you know, it was Rask and Halak a couple of years ago. It's always been, give the guys rest. There's no need to play Ullmark into the ground at the start of the year. I know he's the hot hand. I know he's been outstanding. I completely get all that. He's fun to watch. He's won them games. I mean, you know, he's just been unbelievably good. But you kind of want him to be unbelievably good in April, May, and hopefully June. Maybe not now. Do you think Montgomery has to kind of ease on Omark a little bit?
Yeah, I think that's something that even before Omark went down, that injury that Montgomery spoke about, I think it was one of last week after practice, he mentioned this was right after Swayman was activated and was ready to play. And it wasn't a situation where, all right, Swayman's back, but he's coming off injury. He's had a bit of a rough start. Maybe are you guys looking at easing him into it and still giving Omark a majority of the starts over this next 2-3 weeks? Montgomery Prince said no, because he said, look at how much Omark's played. I think he led the league in starts at that time. Again, it's exactly what you said, Evan. The last thing you want to do is have Omark be in a run here where he's on fire through the winter, and then you get to a point in late February, early March, where he runs out of gas. So, you know, it's something we've talked about before of, in terms of the many things that can go wrong that can really kind of scuttle a very good team's playoff hopes. One you see mentioned quite a bit and happens quite a lot is your number one goalie running out of gas. I mean,
that's never kind of fun.
It's kind of what happened to Tampa over the last couple of years before they finally kind of broke through. Had a few things go their way, but you look at a guy like Vasilevsky, who played 65 games or what have you, he'd always kind of, you know, show some cracks in the armor once he got to the playoffs. And that's not to say Omark is Vasilevsky. You know, he's kind of playing at that level right now, but still, for a guy in Omark who I think his career high for games played is 41, which was last year.
Yes.
I don't think you want any situation in which you get to middle of April and Omark's playing great. Hell, maybe he like wins a Vezina, but if he wins a Vezina, but you're playing him 60 plus games as a result, and he's out of gas by the time you get to the playoffs, is it worth it? So that's why I think, you know, having Omark back in there is great, but kind of as to what Montgomery said, I think the most important thing for the Bruins is kind of getting that equal split, or at least maybe even giving Swayman more reps over this short term, because not only do you need to give Omark some time to rest and recuperate and not, you know, force him into too many starts early on, but also you need to get Swayman going. Like, last thing you want is Swayman to be off and on and only playing once a week or what have you, because if he can't get into a rhythm, it's hurting the whole team. It's hurting him and his development, but also the last thing you want to do is give Omark a heavy dosage of reps here during the regular season.
That is one of the worries, is that the start has been so great, but I think there's not a focus on it, but, you know, if you have to lose a game or two to get Swayman, you know, up and going, I don't think that's a bad thing. You know, you have a very safe lead here. Things are good. I don't think it's going to upset the mojo if you give Omark a few nights off and let Swayman go in there. And as you said, like, kind of just get back into it, because it's funny, Connor, like, you know, I know he was injured for quite a bit, but hasn't been much of Swayman this year. Like, it's kind of weird. I mean, we're like, you know, this is almost 2 full months into the season. And I mean, I know, again, he was injured for a bit of time, so it's hard to sit here and be like, oh, you know, but like, it just feels like we've seen none of him. And that's a weird thing. It feels like it's been that Ottawa game, the game in Pittsburgh when he got hurt, and then, you know, a game or two here and there, you know, since the injury. So again, it's been weird, because again, I think when we were talking about our great, you know, our predictions, I think I said I had Swayman playing a little bit better than Omark. Now, that could still happen, but again, not what's happened so far. Omark has proven us all wrong a little bit. But if Omark wants to stay fresh throughout the season, if he wants to stay good and in good shape, he would want to try our next partners over at Athletic Greens. Our next partner has a product I use every day. I started taking AG1 because I wanted better gut health and more energy. I don't drink coffee. I don't use caffeine because I wanted healthier natural energy, and AG1 has been providing it in droves. It doesn't taste like it's super healthy or anything either. Has a mild tropical taste, tropical like that, like New York City. That they have those.
This
in New
is
York
exactly
City,
what like it is. This is Karnassi right here. Yeah, it's
this
great.
This is a video you took this weekend.
Yes,
but
it's
again,
Coney Island.
It's Coney Island, and I look forward to that kind of tropics every single morning. So, what is this stuff? With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food sourced ingredients, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients It supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy recovery, focus, and aging. All the things. It's lifestyle friendly. Whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, gluten-free, it contains less than a gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals or artificial anything, while still tasting really, really good. And this also supports better sleep quality and mental clarity. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just a single scoop and a cup of water every day. That is it. Just one scoop. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D, and you guessed it, your five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/Bruins. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/Bruins. Take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. I think that's a good Christmas gift, actually. It does. And you get the promo code and everything. So go there to get some Athletic Greens today. So it's funny. By the way, back on your season predictions, how about that season prediction about you? You said the Devils and the Islanders were going to be like the top teams in the Metro. And I don't know how you did it, Connor. The crystal ball was raring with you over there. Jeez.
Considering how many other predictions I have that are looking absolutely dog shit right now, I will gladly, gloat over that one. It's looking good so far.
Of course, it's the non-Bruins one.
Of course,
isn't that the
yes.
Beauty of
it? No. Like, yes.
The teams you don't cover. But I didn't see that one coming. I mean, I would have expected the Devils to, middle to bottom of the Metro. I would expect the Islanders to be middle. I'm kind of shocked what's going on over there, but hey, I mean, I don't think Bruins fans would complain if the Bruins played, you know, the Devils in the conference final. If
they're
a fun team
to watch.
They are a fun team to watch, and Jack Hughes is absurd. That goal off the helmet, I mean, he's just, you know, he's good. But that decor over there, I don't fully believe in quite yet. So
it's a very weird decor. That's not like anyone is like their star player. They kind of remind me a little bit of like Carolina, where again, like Slavin's really good, and like I think Brett Pesce's really underrated as well. But I think it's just the way they play as a collective unit that also helps them quite a bit. You always see, like, even if it's like Marino or and then these other guys, Siegenthaler, it's like these guys are always flying up the ice. So when they play the Bruins, it's actually going to be just great seeing how different they are in person as a system. And because again, you kind of look at that team, talented, could they make a step forward? Yes, but they're like a wagon right now in terms of how they're playing.
And what's funny is they basically brought Andrew Brunette in to potentially replace Lindy Ruff if things go south.
Nope.
And Lindy Ruff was like, it's like bringing in a quarterback to a behind a starter and trying to motivate him. And I guess they did it with Lindy Ruff and that team. But back to the Bruins. Speaking of, well, we'll get to the big question that is in the headline of this podcast in a second. But Ullmark with the Vezina is an interesting conversation because he has, I mean, NHL.com did a vote, I believe, among all their writers, and Hellebuck narrowly beat Ullmark in terms of the Vezina, if I'm correct on that, and I think I am. And Hellebuck's been outstanding to start the year. I mean, the Jets have been good, and Hellebuck's been terrific. But it would be interesting if at the end of the year, Ullmark was at the very least in the conversation, because he is he's one of the favorites now. And I don't know. A lot of people said, oh, that money's stupid. They shouldn't have signed him, you know, whatever. And crazy. It's actually kind of worked out.
Yeah. No, it's been great. Yeah. And it's something where I think he's definitely right in the mix in terms of Vezina right now. We'll see again. We're a quarter of the way through the season, so a lot can change. But in terms of just how he's played, I think he's probably the biggest difference maker in terms of the Bruins.
Oh, yeah.
You know, 18-3, or again, 18-3, or you know, maybe they're at 11 wins or what have you. But he's been the difference maker, at least early on in the year when that defense wasn't quite settled. He was the reason why you won a few of those 6-5 high scoring games. And then there's been a couple of games recently where when that 5-5 offense kind of dried up a little bit, he's been the biggest difference maker out there. So he's been right up there. His numbers reflect that. Again, even though the Bruins are probably a better team all around than maybe what Hellebuck has with the Jets or Sorokin has with the Islanders, the numbers are still the numbers. So if he's got a 929 save percentage at the end of the year and a great record, he's going to be in that mix. But still, when you look at, like, let's say Sorokin keeps on playing the way he does, or Hellebuck, and these are teams that have a lot less structure as a defense, have a lot less talent. You have to feel like those guys probably get favored more, but we'll see. Again, it all ends up being a situation where you get to that point of the year with the awards where it's all right, you reflect the baseline numbers, the situation behind the goalies. But for Bruins fans, I think just having Ullmark in that conversation is huge. And again, it shows how much things can change. As you said, I think last year when they signed them, people were like, Art, you know, you're blocking out Swayman and his ability to get reps. You're spending too much money at the position, even though $5 million for a goalie, pretty damn good.
Not bad.
Yeah. You know, we've come a long way from the Bruins should roll out Swayman and Vladar for this team on its last, its last stretch of contention with Bergeron, rolling out two guys who have played what, like a maximum at that time of 30 starts, if that, in the NHL. Might have even been less going back to last year. So I think the Bruins made a right call in that regard.
Never forget that game at the beginning of last season when the Flames came in here and beat the Bruins with Vladar in net. And of course, Twitter that night was just, they let the wrong guy go. This was the guy. He should have been the backup. Ullmark's a waste of money. And little do you know, long-term, Bruins kind of did the right thing there. I'll give him credit. You know, that actually worked out well. And we've said that. I mean, we were never, I don't think we were ever like against the Ullmark signing. I think we would just kind of say, hey, you know, maybe they could have got someone a little bit cheaper, but I don't think we were ever fully against it. I think we were fairly in favor of, hey, you need two legitimate goalies. Ullmark is a very legitimate goalie. And guess what? Sometimes you need a year to adjust. Same with Foligno. But let's get to the big question. The big question. Again, we're a quarter way through the season, so it's hard to sit here and dive straight into this. But it's a question that's worth asking. You know, beginning of the year, we were asking, are the Bruins Cup contenders, right? And slowly but surely, they proved us, yes, they are very much Cup contenders. And now the question turns to, are the Bruins the Cup favorites at this moment in time? Now, BetOnline has the Avalanche as the top odds team, which makes sense. They're pretty good. But the Bruins are second. Vegas is third, by the way. How about that? Nice. Do you think they're the favorites? Now, at the moment, we will see, because they're going to play Colorado and they're going to play Vegas in the next couple weeks. I don't know if I can bring myself to be like, they are the Cup favorite. That's very dangerous to say in end of November. But I mean, what do you think?
I mean, they're right. I think in that we said before, I think early on in the year, that when we both even said that the Bruins, you know, had a chance to win the Cup, that are they the, you know, clear cut favorite? Are they going to go on this crazy run in terms of the regular season? No, we thought they were going to be in the mix, and they have the depth and the talent and the urgency and all those things that could all kind of come together and make for a really promising playoff run. But I think when you look at just the overall skill set and maybe the ceiling of teams, I still think Colorado is probably the team to beat in that regard, in terms of when playing on their game. Again, you can have a very, very stout, structured, layered zone defense. You could have Ullmark on his game, but the Avalanche are the number one team in terms of the shrugs per 60, where they'll make a play with McKinnon or Makar, and you're like, well, you can't stop that. It's like guarding Steph Curry when he's hitting like threes with, like, you know, hands in his face. You just gotta, that's all you can do, right?
That is the same thing. It's same with McDavid. Like, they're just play, like, you just, there's nothing you can do to defend it.
You work hard for a goal, your fourth line catches in on a goal, and then immediately, I think there was one of these games recently, I think, was it against the Flames, I want to say, where or maybe it was the Oilers, where McKinnon, like, they gave up a goal and then immediately took the puck and went down, like, dangled past two guys, scored immediately, like 13 seconds later. It's like that team is loaded with guys that can just do that. So until you kind of we get to the end of, you know, February or March, and we see where these teams are with, you know, the deadline and what have you, then you probably have a better barometer of where these teams are. But when you look at right now, how they're playing, Bruins are right in that, I think, you know, maybe elite tier, right? The S tier, I guess, in terms of teams that are right there, whether it's them in Colorado, Vegas, you look out in the East too. Like, again, Tampa's been pretty solid to start the year, but that's still a team that, until they get bounced out of the playoffs, I'm not putting anything past them in terms of their playoff pedigree, Vasilevsky, all this stuff. Would not be surprised if, once again, Tampa makes some crazy trade to get some guy that we didn't expect, because we're always seems to be in the mix for that. So, but I think it's just for right now, at this point of the year, end of November, the Bruins just being in that upper tier in terms of maybe like the collective top four, is impressive enough, right? Like, they're right, I think, in that mix where they go on a run. I don't think at this point it wouldn't put it past anyone to be surprised if they go on a run, because I think they've really established themselves right now in terms of where they are, you know, in the NHL and especially in the East.
I'm not going to declare them the favorite. I think that's not the greatest thing to do, as I said, at this time of the year, because Colorado is still extremely good and the top, but I would not. I'm with BOL on this. I think I'm putting the Bruins like second or third.
Yeah.
But as you said, they're in the elite, elite group. And you know what? That's a lot more than we thought. Like, that's a lot more than we ever thought they would be this year. And that's more than everybody thought that they would be this year. So pretty good. Pretty good to be where they are right now. Before we go, this hit me as we were talking. And I realized that this news came out like a week or two ago now. And we hadn't discussed it yet. And I know you're wondering what I'm talking about, because you're like, what's he getting at? The Winter Classic jerseys. What did you think of them?
I think they're pretty solid. I'm always a big fan of Meth Beer. Like, anything, the more the merrier. Still, I was just decidedly meh in terms of just the overall. I don't like the logo is too small. Like, I don't think like the stripes are that good. But I think it's a situation where, I want to say that once they announced the Winter Classic jerseys in 2019 for Notre Dame, I think a lot of people were like, yeah, it's pretty good. It's not bad. Then you see it on the ice, and I think that's what changes it, especially look at these outdoor games, kind of the spectacle behind it. I think once you get these guys on the ice playing, I think people will be like, oh, that's pretty sick. I saw they did like a photo shoot today with some of the players, and they got the gold socks and all that stuff. So I think it's part of a bigger product once you have it on the ice. I think people will be fans of it. So.
Yeah, my first impression when the leak hit was I just thought it was bland and meh.
Yeah,
I like Meth Bear, I do. But I was kind of like, eh, you know. But then again, that's also, you're seeing it like on a rack, like,
yes,
you know,
exactly.
Like an iPhone,
like
camera,
like Modell's, yeah.
Yeah, like it looks like it's at a Marshall's, you know, on the rack, and you're just like, oh, okay. But then I saw it at Patrice Bergeron and some of the players, and I saw, as you said, the pants and the socks, and I said, all right, like, it's not my favorite, I don't think, but it's very good. It's solid, you know, it's solid. I'd give it like a, at the current moment, I have not seen it on ice yet. I would give it like a, you know, a 6.2. You know, it's just above average in my eyes.
Yeah, 6.7, I'll say. But again, okay, on the ice, we'll see.
On the ice, again, the whole idea of having it at Fenway, like, my personal favorite of the Winter Classic sweaters is the 2010 ones. And part of that is due to, it was at Fenway Park, it was the first one, and it was really cool. And that's why. Maybe it's not even so much the jerseys, but kind of the memories you have associated with those jerseys. So maybe this will be a similar thing. They come out on the ice at Fenway, and I go, okay, you know what? Those pop. This is a beautiful event. All that. But yeah, I was, and the Penguins ones were fairly solid too. They were pretty good, you know, nothing incredible. I still think, and I think this might be unpopular, I still think it's their fourth Winter Classic. The games at Fenway, be really cool if they had like a Fenway jersey. And I like the little touch on like the part inside the collar where it kind of has the Fenway colors. I don't know if you do like a full green monster jersey, that'd be a lot.
People would be so pissed. Like, I would appreciate them for being very bold, but people would be livid.
And maybe I'm a sicko and I would enjoy that, but I don't know. I just would have enjoyed like a Boston style jersey. And again, they're hot, like
Union Oyster House, like over here. Got a little Dunks right here.
Regina's Pizza on one of the shoulders. Yes. I will say though, I think, and this kind of hits at a bigger point, I would love for the NHL to do some form of a city jersey in the future. I know that, you know, like the NBA does it, the MLB does it. We have hockey sweaters. They're the biggest. They have the coolest designs. I don't know why Adidas doesn't try that. Maybe that's in the future. I don't know. But a Boston jersey would be pretty sick, because I love the Red Sox city jerseys are sick. The Celtics have some awesome city jerseys. It'd be really cool if the Bruins did one, or if every team did one. It'd allow for some creativity. But yeah, overall, it's good. Didn't blow me away. Again, this is the fourth outdoor jersey. I don't think, and like, as much as I say it's meh, I don't think there was anything, unless the Meth Bear was bigger, I don't think there's anything that would have blown us away. You know, like,
Bruins aren't really a team that has, you know, they're not as bad as like the the Red Wings or what have you, where
or
it's
the Canadians.
Like, yeah, where it's like they've only got so many options they can go with. Like, but yeah, it's not like I think you're going to see them go completely off kilter in terms of what they're, you know, they're never going to be Super Bowl, but they have four or five different avenues they can take, and you know they're not going to stray that far from it. It's cool when they bring back the Pooh Bear or the or Meth Bear, stuff like that, but you're not going to see anything where you're going to be like, what the hell are they rolling out here, right?
And that's a good thing, because there are a lot of teams that you see with the reverse retros where you see it and you're like, what the hell is that, like,
right?
What is that jersey, like, what was, and like the glow in the dark jerseys for Vegas, like, great, but like, why? I mean, is it just for warm-ups? I don't know, not to like shit on fun, but I don't know. I don't see
it would not work in Boston. Can you imagine the reaction of the Bruins if Pooh Bear like glue in the dark? People would be like, we don't give a shit. We respectfully do not care.
No, disrespectfully, they don't.
Yes,
care.
Exactly.
That would
yes.
not be respectful at all. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's always interesting with them. I would love for them to at some point go back to the Cam Neely jerseys of that era. Like, that would be really cool to go back to at some point. But yeah, again, I don't hate the jerseys. After I saw it on Patrice Bergeron and the players, I said, okay, you know what, like, it looks pretty good, and I think on the Fenway ice it'll look very nice. Anyways, Connor, what can people look forward to from you over at Boston Sports Journal?
Yeah, we're going to continue to break down every single game this Bruins season, whether it's game reports, columns, features, Q&A's, all that good stuff every single day over at BSJ. So please subscribe over at bostonsportsjournal.com. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can at ConnorRyan_93.
Go do all that. I'm Evan Marinofsky. You Bruins Beat listeners have a great rest of your week.